Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjadi Hari Gopijana Balaba Girivare Hari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivare Hari
Gopi Jana Balaba
Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Yanjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Yanjana Yamuna Chira Ramachari Yamuna Chira Ramachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivare Hari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivare Hari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Yanjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Yanjana Yamuna Chira Ramachari Yamuna Chira Ramachari Jaya Vishnu Pad from Anaksa Prabhupada Still to see Shimad is the divine grace of Ajahn 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 Swami.
Tell us
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, no. Text number 5.
Is it on?
Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text number 5. We do the Sanskrit responsibly. Yaya samohito jiva.
Yaya samohito jiva.
Atmanam chi gunatmakam.
Atmanam chi gunatmakam.
Paropi manute natam.
Paropi manute natam.
Tatkritam chavipadyate. Yaya samohito jiva.
Yaya samohito jiva.
Atmanam trigunatmakam.
Atmanam trigunatmakam.
Paropi manute natam.
Paropi manute natam.
Tatkritam chavipadyate.
Tatkritam chavipadyate.
Someone else? Yaya.
Yaya.
By whom?
By who?
Samohita.
Samohita.
Illusioned. Jiva.
Jiva.
The living entities.
Atmanam.
Self. Chiguna atmakam. Conditioned by the three modes of nature or a product of matter. Para, transcendental. Api, in spite of. Manute, takes it for granted. Anartam,
things not wanted.
Tat,
by that.
Kritam cha, reaction. Abhipadyate, undergoes thereof. Translation. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Please repeat. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature,
thinks of himself
as a material product, and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. It's a long purport by Srila Prabhupada. The root cause of suffering by the materialistic living beings is pointed out with remedial measures which are to be undertaken and also the ultimate perfection to be gained. All this is mentioned in this particular verse. The living being is by constitution transcendental to material encagement, but he is now imprisoned by the external energy, and therefore he thinks himself one of the material products. And due to this unholy contact, the pure spiritual entity suffers material miseries under the modes of material nature. The living entity misunderstands himself to be a material product. This means that the present perverted way of thinking, feeling, and willing under material conditions is not natural for him, but he has his normal way of thinking, feeling, and willing. The living being in his original state is not without thinking, willing, and feeling. The living being is, feeling power. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the actual knowledge of the conditioned soul is now covered by nescience. Thus, the theory that a living being is absolute impersonal Brahman is refuted herein. This cannot be because the living entity has his own way of thinking in his original unconditional state also. The present conditional thinking in his original... Okay, the present conditional state is due to the influence of the external energy, which means that the illusory energy takes the initiative while the Supreme Lord is aloof. The Lord does not desire that a living being be illusioned by external energy. The external energy is aware of this fact, but still she accepts the thankless task of keeping the forgotten soul under illusion by her bewildering influence. The Lord does not interfere with the task of the illusory energy because such performances of the illusory energy are also necessary for reformation of the conditioned soul. An affectionate father does not like his children to be chastised by another agent, yet he puts his disobedient children under the custody of a severe man just to bring them to order. For the all-affectionate Almighty Father at the same time desires relief for the conditioned soul, relief from the clutches of the illusory energy. The king puts the disobedient citizens within the walls of the jail. But sometimes the king, desiring the prisoner's relief, personally goes there and pleads for reformation. And on his doing so, the prisoners are set free. Similarly, the Supreme Lord descends from his kingdom upon the kingdom of illusory energy and personally gives relief in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein he personally suggests that although the ways of illusory energy are very stiff to overcome, one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord is set free by the order of the Supreme. This surrendering process is the remedial measure for getting relief from the bewildering ways of the illusory energy. The surrendering process is completed by the influence of association. The Lord has suggested, therefore, that by the influence of the speeches of saintly persons who have actually realized the Supreme, men are engaged in his transcendental loving service. The conditioned soul gets a taste for hearing about the Lord, and by such hearing only, he is gradually elevated to the platform of respect, devotion, and attachment for the Lord. The whole thing is completed by the surrendering process. Herein also the same suggestion is made by the Lord in his incarnation of Vyasadeva. This means that the conditioned souls are being reclaimed by the Lord both ways, namely by the process of punishment, by the external energy of the Lord, and by himself as the spiritual master within and without. Within the heart of every living being, the Lord himself, as the Supersoul, Paramatma, becomes a spiritual master, and from without he becomes a spiritual master in the shape of scriptures, saints, and the initiated spiritual master. This is still more explicitly explained in the next sloka. Personal superintendence of the illusory energy is confirmed in the Vedas, the Kena Upanishad, in relation to the demigod's controlling power. Herein also it is clearly stated that the living entity is controlled by the external energy in a personal capacity. The living being, thus subject to the control of external energy, is differently situated. It is clear, however, from the present statement of Bhagavatam, that the same external energy is situated in the inferior position before the personality of Godhead or the perfect being. The perfect being or the Lord cannot be approached even by the illusory energy, but only work on the living entities. Therefore, it is sheer imagination that the Supreme Lord is illusioned by the illusory energy and thus becomes a living being. If the living being and the Lord were in the same category, then it would have been quite possible for Vyasadeva to see it, and therefore there would have been no question of material distress on the part of the illusion being, for the Supreme Being is fully cognizant. So there are so many unscrupulous imaginations on the part of the monist to endeavor to put both the Lord and the living being in the same category. Had the Lord and the living beings been the same, then Śrīla Sukadeva Goswami would not have taken the trouble to describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord for they would all be manifestations of illusory energy. Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum remedy for suffering humanity in the clutches of Maya. Srila Vyasadeva, therefore, first of all, diagnosed the actual disease of the conditioned souls, their being illusioned by the external energy. He also saw the perfect supreme being from whom illusory energy is far removed, though he saw both the diseased souls and the cause of the disease. And the remedial measures are suggested in the next verse. Both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living beings are undoubtedly qualitatively one, but the Lord is the controller of the illusory energy, whereas the living entity is controlled by the illusory energy. Thus, the Lord and the living beings are simultaneously one and different. Another point is distinct herein. That eternal relation between the Lord and the living being is transcendental. Otherwise, the Lord would not have taken the trouble to reclaim the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. In the same way, the living entity is also required to revive his natural affection and love for the Lord, and that is the highest perfection of the living entity. Srimad Bhagavatam treats the conditioned soul with an aim to that goal of life. Om Agyanatamandasya Gyananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuramritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Anchakalpa Shri Vishakri Pasamudaviya Vichapatitnam Pramevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namaha. So Krishna, Srila Prabhupada mentions the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna gives relief, Prabhupada says, in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is so important. Krishna says, Rajavija Rajguyam Pavajami Tamutamam Pratakshivagamam Dayam Susukam Katamabhyayam. This knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of secrets. What's the rest of it? It is, this knowledge is the king of education. The most secret is, it's the life of all transcendental knowledge. No, that's wrong. Anyway, it is the perfection of religion and is joyfully performed. So, Bhagavad Gita teaches the perfection of religion. And so, you know, just by reading the Bhagavad Gita, even if you're blind, you can become perfect, which was demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya. But the Srimad Bhagavatam goes a lot further. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Sva Dhamma Pikade Dhamma Gyana Visaha Kalona Sadri Shamesha Puraka Nodita. It says, the Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen just after the departure of Krishna to his own abode, who is accompanied by knowledge, religion, etc. People who have lost their vision due to the darkness of the age of Kali will get light from the shining Purana. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the knowledge that will free us from material existence, along with the Bhagavad Gita and many other scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam has many different aspects. It describes different incarnations of the Lord, many different incarnations, and it also gives a very graphic picture of what material life is all about. There's many descriptions of very suffering conditions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. because basically you have to become detached from material life to appreciate spiritual life. So the first thing is to clear away all our attachments and material desires. So by hearing the descriptions, for instance, in the instructions of Narada Muni, in the fourth canto, well, first of all, in the third canto, you've got the instructions of Kapila Dev to Devahuti, which describe very hellish conditions. That the, you know, the journey of the soul, we go through so many different bad situations, and it talks about, you know, when you leave your body, if you're a materialist, you have to be chased down the road by a pack of dogs on a road that's so hot. And it's very scary, actually. And then in the fourth canto, you have the story of King Prachibahisha and how his body, he's a bit of an enjoyer, and he enjoyed killing animals. And so, is this King? Yeah, anyway, maybe it's Chandavega's time. Anyway, it describes how the body is attacked and, you know, the different gates of the body as you become old, the gates of the body give you so many problems. So that description is also very graphic, how much the living entity suffers. And then again, in the fifth canto, well, there's another section actually, Narada Muni is preaching to the Prajetas, where he's talking about time, how time is like a machine with very sharp razor-like edges, which is cutting away. Anyway, it's quite a horrifying description of material life. And then, also in the fifth canto, talks about the hellish planets, 28 hellish planets, and I mean, just by reading them, you would really be put off a lot of the things that you would go to hell for. I don't know if, I mean, is it allegory or is it real? I mean, but even just by reading it is bad enough. So there's all these descriptions of all these situations you can get into in the material world. But then again, there's other wonderful descriptions of great personalities, but also personalities who got entangled in material life but managed to extricate themselves. Like, for instance, Sobari Muni, he was a great sage meditating on the water of the Jamuna, and you know, he became attracted to sex life. A lot of these descriptions of difficult situations are particularly pointing at the sex life in the material world and how it really is the root cause of all one's suffering. So Prabhupada said, if you can give up sex, then you can actually you can become very powerful, and that is the main trap of material life. And then so also talks about Yayati, how Yayati was very attached to sex life, and how he by overindulgence he actually gave it up. But you know, he realized what a waste of time it was. And then it also talks about King, what's the king who fell down with leprosy? Pururava. He's mentioned twice. He's mentioned, his whole life story is mentioned in the ninth canto. He was very beautiful. He was the son of the moon god. Anyway, he was very beautiful, and Urvasi was attracted to him. She heard about his beauty, so she, and he heard about her beauty. He wanted to marry her, and she agreed on one condition, that he wouldn't ever let her see him naked. So she came to this planet from the heavenly planets because she's one of Indra's society girls. So she came here and they enjoyed, you know, good love life. And then one night, well, Indra, he was worried. He wanted to get her back to heaven. So he sent some apsaras to come and Gandharvas to steal her pet lambs. She had some pet lambs for some reason. So then they stole the pet lambs, and it was in the middle of the night, and she was crying out, "They've taken my lambs, they've taken my lambs." So he got up in the middle of the night, he was naked. She saw him, and because she'd seen him naked, she didn't stay with him any longer. So then he's lamenting how she's left him, and then she's instructing him, "Why do you trust a woman? The heart of a woman is like a sly fox. You're a fool," etc. And then the 11th canto, Krishna is actually, he's describing Pururava's mentality, how he's lamenting so much, and how he becomes attached to his lamentation. So, all these different difficult situations are there to put us up into real life, basically. And then in the Shikshastakam we have Nadanam Najanam Sundarim Kavatamba Jagadishikamaya Mamma Jamani Jamanishvari Bhavata Bhaktir Hoyti Kitwai. O Almighty Lord, I do not want any wealth, any beautiful women, any followers. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, you know, Krishna comes to the material world. Prabhupada explains here in the purport, like the king comes. He comes in many different forms. So all the different forms of the Lord are absolutely wonderful and beautiful and full of knowledge. But the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is the Yuga avatar, that is the best form. Because none of the other forms gave what Lord Chaitanya gave, which is pure devotional service. And more than that, he gave in the mood of the gopis. So you couldn't get that from Matsya or Kurama or Nisringadev or Lord Ram, no other incarnation. So therefore, this is the best age. And therefore, it describes in the 12th canto how the demigods are queuing up, you know, to come to this planet to actually get a chance to take birth in Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we're incredibly fortunate. And Lord Chaitanya came, but he was also accompanied by his very close associates. Because Lord Krishna, he also came with his associates. And Uddhava was one of his closest associates. Uddhava is a very important person. And he resides simultaneously in three places. He resides, his favorite place is actually, he is in the dust of Vrindavan, because the gopas trample on him with their lotus feet. What a fortunate position. And so he didn't want to ask the gopas to put their feet on his head, because he knew they would refuse, because he was a messenger of Krishna. So he just begged to become dust at the lotus feet. And then he also resides simultaneously in Dwarka and simultaneously in Bhadarikashram. But when he was with Krishna, when Krishna was on the planet, he instructed him in the 11th canto, the Yudhava Gita, which is very beautiful. It's practically my favorite part of the Bhagavatam, except maybe the 10th canto. But the 11th canto is so nice. So Krishna says, Maya pitamana sabya nirpeksha shashvata mayatmana kamyatad. He says, O Lord Uddhava, those who fix their minds on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. And then he says, Akinchana siddhantasya shantasya. He says, one who does not desire anything in this material world, who has achieved peace by controlling his senses, whose consciousness is equal in all conditions, whose mind is completely satisfied in me, finds only happiness wherever he goes. And then Krishna says, one who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither position of the abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on the earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold perfection of yoga, nor liberation from birth and death. Such a person desires me alone. And the next verse is such a beautiful verse. Natata priyatama. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor Din, my own self, are as dear to me as you are. And then he says something very nice. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. So those are beautiful verses spoken by Lord Krishna, but Uddhava himself, even though he's an associate of the Lord and very dear to the Lord, he also prays like a conditioned soul. So he says, my Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I see no possible other shelter than your lotus feet, which are just like refreshing umbrellas which pour down showers of delicious nectar. And he says, oh merciful Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into this dark well of material existence. So, you know, even Uddhava's praying as if he's a conditioned soul, Uddhava wants to be, you know, the dust in Vrindavan, to be trampled on by the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have to try to follow his example to aspire to somehow the living Vrindavan, whether it's the dust or whatever. But we are taught by the Acharyas that, who are also taking the part of conditioned souls, we're also taught that these Acharyas, like Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was also that Prabhupada recommended we read his books, like Jiva Dharma. The Jiva Dharma talks about some of these great devotees who appeared with Lord Chaitanya. So this is from a book which has some different prayers of Raghunath Das Goswami. And the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually explaining who amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates taught which particular aspect of Krishna consciousness. So, Srila Rupa Goswami has exhaustively elaborated upon the details of Rasa Tattva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave him this service and specially blessed him to fulfill the responsibility. However, the methods by which an aspiring soul may develop such rasa in the intimate service of Radha Krishna had been compiled by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami from the famous diaries of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. All followers receive their particular missions on the order of Lord Chaitanya and were empowered by the Lord for the successful fulfillment of their particular order. So this is the conversation between Vijay and his guru. So he asks him, and Vijay cares to know what further responsibilities were given to whom by the Lord. The answer is, Sri Chaitanya instructed Srila Swarup Damodar to disseminate rasa upasana, the process of bhajan inculcated with rasa. Accordingly, he compares his diaries on rasa upasana, comprising two sections, antapanta, the esoteric internal means of attainment, and bahipanta, the exoteric external means of attainment. The esoteric process was entrusted to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, as amply exhibited in his books, and the exoteric rasa upasana was allocated to Srila Vakreshwara Pandit, which is the treasure of our spiritual lineage. This exoteric rasa upasana was passed on to me by Srila Vakreshwara Pandit and from me to Sri Dhyanacharya, who is Dhyanachandra, who has compiled in a book of which you are now the fortunate recipient. So there's so much to learn from these great devotees, and like I said, this is such a rare opportunity to understand the relationship that Krishna's, that Radharani's assistants have with Radharani, because we can't approach Krishna directly. Prabhupada said, if you want to approach Krishna, you have to put a flower in Radharani's hand and ask Radharani to, well, ask her to give it to Krishna. So, in this book, well, this is a verse, a poem by Raghunath, Vilapa Kushmandali, very beautiful, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati loved this book, and he quoted from it. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he wanted to teach more of this mood, but he spent his time defeating the casteism and the impersonalists at that time. So in this book, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's explaining how he wants to serve Radharani. He wants to clean her room, and he wants to wash it and then dry it with his hair, with her hair, because he's taking the mood of a Manjari, Rati Manjari. And then same thing, Narottam Das Thakur, he's the same mood serving Radharani. Of course, in the beginning, Narottam Das, he's explaining how he's no attraction for the holy name, and that, you know, when will the Lord be merciful to me? And, you know, he's so far away from devotional service. So this is also the mood of the Shikshastakam, because Lord Chaitanya says, Nam Namakari Bhadita Nija Savashaktista Trapatani Amita Smarana Kena Nikalaha Etadrisi Tava Kripa Bhagavamma Pididaiva Mitrisha Mahajini Nanaragaha. So he says that your holy name can give all benediction to human living beings, and thus you have unlimited names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction to the holy names. So this is the mood we should have, because he is teaching us how to be devotees. So Lord Chaitanya is pretending to be a devotee, and Srila Prabhupada explained how one time, you know, if he got down on the floor and if he cleaned the floor to show us how to clean the floor, because there's a way to clean the floor. So he said, if I showed you that, it doesn't mean I'm a floor cleaner. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he came to show us how to be devotees. And this is echoed by, what's his name? Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshatamekha Purusha Purana. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma. So he said, you have come to teach us what is real renunciation, what is real knowledge. So I take shelter of you because you're an ocean of mercy. So only from Lord Chaitanya can we actually make progress, and we can only approach Lord Chaitanya through Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda is the savior of the most fallen. Unless you feel that you're the most fallen, you cannot approach Radha and Krishna. So therefore Narottam Das, in one of his songs, he explains this point, that unless one feels the most fallen, we cannot understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. And once again, he's taking the position of a conditioned soul. He's saying, when will I be eager to study the books of the Goswamis? So this is, you know, an indication that we should be eager to study all these books, not just Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many books, amazing books. And these books just show us how, what the mood should be to be a devotee. So, you know, we hear about all the suffering in the material world, you know. The material world is a dangerous place. And this particular time we're in now, because Prabhupada really wasn't into astrology, but astrology is a Vedic science. So, you know, the astrologers say that this particular time period we're in right now is very bad. And we should be very serious about our spiritual life for the next couple of years. And so, Prabhupada said that this whole civilization would collapse. I'm not saying it will. Prabhupada said it will. He said the cities would fall apart. It's easy to imagine it happening. Who knows? But we should be very afraid of this material energy, and we should try to somehow make preparations in case things do go bad. Like Y2K, you know, remember what that was? You know, the year 2000 didn't happen. But, you know, a lot of people stored food. But you know, without being paranoid, and we can say, well, Krishna will protect us, but at the same time, Krishna might give us the brain to prepare for some kind of disaster. But who knows if it will take place, but best to be prepared. But, you know, ultimately, whatever happens, we know the material world is not our real home. But Krishna made the material world so wonderful that we've totally screwed it up. And so we see that, you know, the materialistic kind of mindset which came from Europe, especially industrialization from the British and Western Europe and to America, that also, you know, the slave trade also began in Europe, came to America. Recently, the people in one city in England called Bristol, they got this big statue. You may have seen it on the news. There was a statue of this guy, and he was one of the kind of heroes of old day Bristol. Bristol's a big port city by the sea. And so they, he had actually been one of the main slave trade dealers, slave traders, back in the day when the British was flourishing. And they built this huge statue to him because he gave a lot of money in charity. It's like the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, the wealthy, the demoniac person thinks, oh, now I'll give some charity and I'll bless everybody with my money, even though they're committing so many sinful activities. So these people on the rampage, they were, you know, protesting about the, you know, the skin colors, and they got this statue and they threw it in the sea. This statue was some big you know, landmarks of British supremacy, they just threw it in the river. So, you know, things are changing, and we have faith that actually Lord Chaitanya's moon and his teachings are rising, and that whatever we go through, we can be assured that his prediction, that his name will be chanted in every town and village, will come true. And whatever happens, you know, we know that Krishna's always God, and that, you know, the goal of life is to actually become very serious and study Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So I'll finish there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any further comments? Any of you? Prang Govinda Prabhu? You mentioned the hellish planets in the fifth canto are considered allegory. Please expand on this. I said they might be, I didn't say they were. Does this apply to other parts of the Bhagavatam that are beyond the capacity of our tiny brain? Is the entire Vedic cosmology allegory? Allegory? What did the Acharyas say? Hare Krishna. No, I didn't say they were allegory. I said that even if they were, they would be scary enough to stop us from engaging in some of those sinful activities, that even if they were allegorical, I don't believe the Vedas are allegorical. I believe they're true, they're real. So, I believe the Acharyas say it's all real. Right?
Yeah, they are real.
They're real.
God is real.
Yeah. God is real. The Nishinade is real. It's all real. We're living in a dream world. Our mind is so compressed by our conditioning and by our education that, you know, we've become kind of limited in our ability to understand. If I made it sound like I said they were allegorical, I didn't mean it. See, Krishna, he's amazing and he does incredible things. And like when he actually subdued Kaliya, the Kaliya serpent. So Krishna, he did something really amazing. Because lifting up Govardhan hell is already completely amazing. And creating a whole nice space under Govardhan for people to live for 7 days, everything very nice. That's, couldn't do anything. But when he danced on Kaliya's head, he decided to have fun by getting a scarf. And, well, first of all, he got some gopis, and he danced on their hoods with the gopis, like a rasa dance on. This is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And then he threaded the nose of Kaliya with a scarf, and he held it like reins, the scarf, and he rode Kaliya like a horse. It's in the Brihad Bhagavatam. So, you know, we're very limited, and we just have to accept that nothing is impossible. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So it's all amazing, it's all wonderful. And the more we make progress, the more we realize how little we know, that everything is real. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Any other question or comment? Otherwise, we'll end the class soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
What's that?